Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From Variety, celebrating more than 118 years covering the business of entertainment, this is the Award Circuit Podcast.
10 wonderful films were nominated, but only one will take the award for Best Picture. And I have to go to the envelope for that, and I will. Here it comes. And my eyes see Oppenheimer.
I'm Michael Schneider, and on this special edition of the award-winning Variety Award Circuit Podcast, we recap this year's 96th Academy Awards. The highs, the lows, the trivia, and so much more behind this year's Oscars. It's all next on this edition of the Variety Awards Circuit Podcast. Stay close. And here we are. Oscars are over. Oppenheimer wasn't quite the sweep, but it still did quite well. There are plenty of surprises. There's a lot to discuss. So let's get into it. Clayton Davis is awake, which I'm impressed with. He just spent 24 hours with Davine Joy Randolph. We got Janelle Riley. We got Jazz Tankay. Jazz, I didn't win the office pool this year. I was really off. This is the last time I listened to Clayton fucking Davis.
Oh my gosh, we were all so off. Guess who? Katie Adler.
No, I did well. I did really well in the main categories. It was those damn shorts that messed me up.
Oh, the shorts are always going to mess you up. And by the way, can I, as I put in the column after, I was 23 for 23 right after the BAFTAs.
Doesn't count.
And then I changed it all completely. So just
sorry. I do one smug thing. Yeah, told you Emma Stone.
Oh yeah. I mean, listen, that's fine. Like, actually, you know what? And I had said this to a few people. I don't think I said it on the podcast. You know, I wrote the day before the SAG Awards. I was like, you know, I wrote this column about, like, I switched my prediction to from Lily Gladstone to Emma Stone. Cause I was like, Emma just got it, and then she won the SAG Award.
Lily won.
I was saying to a buddy, Lily won the SAG Award, and I was telling people, I was like, this is going to trick all of us into switching. And I still knew in my heart of hearts, I was like, Lily's not going to do it. And then
it's never smart to bet against SAG, so you
I still think it was really close, but I think when you look at the two, it just, you know, we'll have some digestive thoughts about that later in the episode. I was correct at one point in the season. you could be right at certain times.
Well,
and then
give props to Katie Adler, who got 20 out of 23 correct.
In our marketing department, correct?
Yeah.
I tracked her down yesterday to ask how she knew, and she was so blasé.
She was like, I don't listen to Clayton Davis.
Actually, in a little bit of fairness, though, to say, the ones I got wrong, I don't know if this was it for you guys too, the ones I got wrong were the number two in my categories.
Yeah.
There was no jaw-dropping surprise, which that was surprising.
Yeah, the lack of surprise was the surprise. Yeah.
Because, like, if it's not that, it's that.
I mean, shout out to Poor Things. That was Jazz's tiebreaker question. How many is Poor Things going to get? I put one. It got four. It did quite well on Sunday night.
I had to do that as the tiebreaker because I was like, Oppenheimer's so obvious. Like, it's like most people are going to go, seven or whatever? Yeah. And I was like, let's just go for Poor Things because of Clayton's, what we discussed on the podcast last week.
Yeah.
Does it go zero? How many does it get? When it won makeup, that's when I knew that Lily was going to lose.
Yeah.
That's when I felt that pit.
Yeah.
Well, you know what really messed me up was the screenplays. I got both of them wrong because we didn't have the WGA awards yet.
Yeah. Nor would I think, I don't think they would have helped either, because I think Barbie's going to win WGA original, and that still wouldn't have helped out there. And then, actually, I think Cord would have won WGA adapted, and then maybe that would have convinced. But some people were still doubting Cord, which I, listen,
I was, yeah.
And I think that's completely fair, because, listen, cool-ass choice that they don't make very often. It is a very specific choice for the Academy to make to give him adapted screenplay. And I thought...
And good for him. And, yeah, and good that they kind of spread the wealth in a lot of those categories. It was nice to see Anatomy of a Fall walk away with something, you know?
I think 11 different movies won an Oscar. And I think that, like, one of the most in a while that, like, individual movies winning...
Yeah, the Emmys need to learn something from that. Spreading the wealth.
Yeah.
There is more on TV than Schitt's Creek, people.
Chanel, you're living in like 2020.
I know.
Well, no, I just remember that show was on for years.
Now it's The Bear.
There's more than NYPD Blue.
Exactly. This year it'll be The Bear. All right. We love The Bear. Another Bear win.
Yeah.
Cord. But then for original screenplay, I mean, listen, we were all thinking holdovers, and in the end, after the blockbuster story that our own Tatiana Siegel did over the weekend, kind of we avoided an awkward moment at the Oscars.
Oh my God! Like, listen, I felt pretty good that it was Anatomy of a Fall, and if it wasn't, I actually thought it was gonna be Past Lives. But I was like, sighed relief for holdovers. I was like, in that category, I was like, because that just would have been a little awkward.
I think we all did, right? Like,
yeah.
And even, like, as much as I wanted Paul to win, too, I was like, yeah. But yeah. I'm glad people...
And let's keep in mind, this is all still alleged. Right. You know, like,
and by the way, for people who don't know what we're talking about, we should sort of keep them up to date. Go to Variety.com to see the story where there are allegations. And it's pretty well documented. I don't know where I stand yet on it. I could go either way. But at least... this was enough to cause some real conversation inside the WGA on whether or not the screenplay to the holdovers was a bit of a ripoff of a previously written screenplay. I don't know. Janelle, you seem to have some doubts.
I did coverage on the Frisco screenplay 10 years ago. I remembered it and went and looked it up and found my coverage. My personal opinion, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an arbitrator, this case will be thrown out. There's no resemblance between the two scripts. The Frisco script is about a doctor who takes a 15-year-old girl on a road trip to lose her virginity. And if you want to cherry-pick points of things that could be familiar, I would just say that that's good screenwriting.
Or that can be in any... by the way, this... I was telling someone this. This happens every season. I mean, literally, it was actually very poignant that today, Asghar Farhadi's plagiarism claim for a hero that was 2020... just got, like, dismissed. So this does happen, more often than people know. It was just the timing of it that everyone was like, so voting's done, so...
But isn't that kind of the WGA's fault because they didn't really act on it for a long time? Or maybe they didn't act on it.
The date of the first email is, like, January 2nd, I think, when the writer had emailed the WGA. But again, like... We don't know enough. I don't know enough about it, like, from a legal standpoint, but I'm just, like, this does happen a lot, and I'm not taking a stance on it. I don't, like, I think a lot of stories tend to sound alike, because life is life.
Right. Life has its beats.
And I do believe...
Yeah.
...that I do believe that people who enter into these, you know, they take it very seriously, and they truly believe it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anyone is out there just throwing these accusations around. You know, and maybe there are some coincidences. Like,
I mean, there are
Saltburn. I just challenge anyone to read the script.
Yeah, I was gonna say Saltburn could, like, say it sounds like Mr. Ripley in a way, right? But it's not, like, even though it does feel a lot like that. So there are just, like, some things there, but nonetheless,
good news is that this all came out after voting, so there's not going to have to be a debate over did that impact it losing, etc. So we could kind of just move on with our lives now.
But can I also just say, 2 days before this came out, I moderated the Better Words panel at the WGA for the nominees, and hands down, my favorite panel that I've moderated all film award season, mostly because Eric Roth, the writer of Killers of the Flower Moon, should do stand-up comedy. That man.
Because you know Killers of the Flower Moon is a hoot.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But he is a mensch. Like, I had never met him before, so it was the first time, so I'm like sitting there like, you know, this is the guy who wrote my second favorite movie of all time, Forrest Gump, and a bunch of other great things. And I started off was like, you know, what I really want to ask you is like, how can I be like you when I grow up? And he was like, well, your wife can die, you can have kids out of wedlock, you can get divorced 3 times, you can do a lot of drugs, drink a lot. He went, it was,
get started, Clayton.
Incredible. I was like, note, I am on it, sir. Thank you.
Can we watch that video? So,
can we
that get uploaded? Because it was a variety.
Yes, it's getting uploaded by WG, I think, later today.
All right, we can so go watch can it.
Hopefully they don't cut that part out. So,
can
yeah,
we talk about the other yeah. mini controversy?
Sure.
I just want to address real quick that apparently the Origin filmmakers were not invited to the neon party.
Yeah. It's getting awkward. Yeah. Like,
as of today, Origin's Twitter account is gone.
Yeah. You ever like, at someone's house and, like, you know, you're not great friends with either of them, with the husband and wife, and they start arguing in front of everyone, and you're like, I just want to die.
Yes.
Like, yeah. It's like a living embodiment of the dinner party episode of The Office. Like, you're just sitting there and you're like, I need to, like, remove. It was so awkward to see the tweet and then see it taken down. Everything about this is just like a lot.
Right.
Yeah. But to Mike's point, original point about Oppenheimer, not quite sweeping. Again, we have to define what does the sweep mean. And I mean, I still think it did really well. Oh. 7 Oscars is not
including like, Best Picture. Yeah. It did like, 5,
especially in today's age.
And 2 yeah, acting
and
awards.
Nolan,
like, yeah,
it did. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really good night for Oppenheimer. I will say, it losing sound to Zone of Interest is Zone of Interest being the fact that they chose that, I think is remarkable because they don't do stuff like that.
Yeah, you're right. It just to me it seemed like the obvious choice, but then you're right. It is surprising.
I think it's the first non-English language movie to ever win sound, like ever.
Wow.
Now my heart broke for Willie Burton, production sound mixer of Oppenheimer, who would have been the most awarded black person in history, would have been his 3rd Oscar. So that sucked. But it was Johnny Byrne is an Oscar winner now, and I love that dude. It, like, a very deserved win.
I love his.
I mean, that movie is all about the soundscape too.
Yeah.
So I get it.
I loved his tweet this morning. He couldn't get onto. He was meant to go to Fox, and he forgot his ID. But he had his Oscar and was like, "This is ID." It's brilliant. It's such a great tweet.
Did it work?
Worked.
Oh.
It's like it's.
Oh.
It's,
I'm gonna get me a fake.
Yeah,
Oscar.
That's dangerous.
Walk around with your Oscar. You get into everything.
That's a great flex, Johnny. But
can we also just speak for the internet? Christopher Nolan's an Oscar winner now. Can all shut up about it? Like, mean the internet.
Nope. The internet, he needs more.
He do, yeah. Like, he wins another one.
I was happy for Jennifer Lame, editor.
Oh,
yeah, the editor.
Oppenheimer.
Yes.
She was like the first woman since 2017 to win. I think it's been like 6 years or something. But
yeah.
And she just gave the best speeches.
Yeah, and Nolan gave a really good speech. He got like a little emotional at the end. I think he was like really touched by it. I think it was a really good moment. In terms of the 4 acting winners, though, Cillian Murphy, Emma Stone, Robert Downey Jr., and Davine Joy Randolph. I think the speech of the night for me was Davine Joy Randolph. I cried, like when Lupita.
I cried when Lupita spoke for her. Yeah.
Because, by the way, had no idea about the glasses thing, and then I saw the Focus features about it. They were like, "We said that this season." I was like, "No, you didn't." I'd never heard that story, and it was, I bawled like a baby, and then seeing her cry, and then her winning was just great, and she had no cards with her, and she, it was great, and then she almost didn't get into the Oscars, so this was a big controversy.
Yes, I heard about this.
There were big protests outside the Academy, and traffic was in a gridlock and stopped for about an hour, so the Academy started sending golf carts to go pick people up. So I asked Dave, and I was like, "So did you get in a golf cart?" And she went, "I'm from Philly. I ain't getting on that thing. Are you crazy?" So she didn't get on, and she just waited, and then she was able to actually get inside. Because supporting actress was first, and the Oscars started 5 minutes late for that reason. They needed her to get inside, because that would have been
a lot
awful.
Of people walked. Like, Eva Longoria just posted a video of her walking up to
She got in late. Well, she got. Cause I was still on the red carpet when she got it because I did an interview with her for ABC. But she got there later than expected. A bunch of people. I'm telling you, it was Octavia Spencer was next to Daveine. They were like talking to each other through the windows.
Oh, that's the funny thing. When you're on that stretch of Highland, sometimes you just look out the window. I remember the year I went, I looked out the window and I just saw Michael Fassbender sitting in the car, just looking like he was saving all his energy.
It was like that for the Grammys. Grammys were like that this year. I didn't move for like a good 40 minutes.
It was the same thing. There was a protest there too, which is why.
And it rained.
Yeah, at least it didn't rain on Oscar Day. But yeah, I mean, in hindsight, the fact that the Oscars were only 5 minutes late is pretty impressive because,
I was wondering what was going on.
And ended on time.
They never start late.
It was early, as a matter of fact. So you can read my story at Variety.com, the inside scoop on everything that went on. Thank you.
Very good story.
Yeah, the fact that Kimmel suddenly was vamping at the end. He's like, I got a minute to spare, so I'm going to read you this Donald Trump tweet. Which it's funny enough, his wife Molly, who's the executive producer, was like, "Don't read the tweet," but he was like, "I gotta read the tweet."
They were also gifted that time because two winners weren't there.
That sped things up too. But it was actually impressive how, you know, the show kind of ran at a pretty fast clip, even though they did do those nominee introductions, like you mentioned. They're calling them the Fab Five, and when they did it for supporting actress, yes, it was emotional, but I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, this show is, this is going to go over like by an hour because of all of these speeches. It's speech on top of speech on top of speech. Thankfully, it worked out fine. It's only four categories that they did that in, but yeah.
They should do it for, like, you know, best sound mixing.
Costumes.
Like, for every single category.
But then you'll have a longer show if that happens.
Then it's an 8-hour show.
Can I say, though, I did miss clips.
Yeah.
I miss clips. I always want clips. But also, just to say, going to the Fab Five setup, as always, the women did their homework. Theirs was incredible. Yep. It made sense on every front. Even Mary Steenburgen talking for Emily Blunt, which, by the way, at first I was like, why is this happening? But it felt heartfelt. It felt like they knew each other. Obviously, they said they were friends. The guys was a little too random for me, and especially supporting actor, except for Sam Rockwell speaking for RDJ, I was kind of like, all right, Ki-Yu Kwan for Sterling K. Brown, okay. You already get locked into the previous winner speaking for that. But then Tim Robbins speaking for Robert De Niro, I was kind of like, I don't know if I don't really see that connection unless, like, just
90s guys.
And by the way, supporting actress was the only one of the Fab Five that actually spanned five decades of winners. Thanks, Rita Moreno. Thank you, Sally Field. It made sense. It felt good. I think you need to go out a little
The best,
more.
The best ones are the ones that have plenty of like humor and personal humor. I mean, there's some who just, it felt like they were just reading from their bios or from their press kits. Others where it felt really emotional. So,
one year when they did this, I remember, I'm not going to say who, but a certain past winner, you could tell they had never met the person they were introducing in their life. And I think they actually said something like, if you Googled this person, or something like that. And
they Googled this person.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I mean, even bringing back Ben Kingsley, which I love to see Ben Kingsley, but Ben speaking for Cillian Murphy, you were kind of like, I guess because you're both from
international,
Like, what was that matchup? Yeah,
yeah. It just, it
I mean,
just
sometimes you just see it's who you're able to get, and it doesn't always.
Yeah,
it's who was available and said yes.
Nick Cage
was
for Paul
Giamatti. That was great.
That was so good.
I would.
And I knew they knew each other, so I was like, yeah, they just haven't done a movie together, it was shocking. Because they both.
Considering how much they, like, they're baking.
They both have done, like, 97,000 movies.
Did you see Paul's In-N-Out cufflinks?
Yes, I did.
That was very cute.
Brilliant. In-N-Out doesn't want to make money. Like, if they're not giving him an endorsement.
Why have they not? Yeah.
They just don't
want to
make money.
It's like, come on. Follow Del Taco's lead after the Saturday Night Live Adam Driver sketch. And get on that.
Cillian Murphy, I think when he won, very heartfelt speech. RDJ, I'm sorry, I have to say, his worst speech of the season. But I think he was just all speeched out by then. I think he gave some of his best stuff with Globe, SAG, Critics' Choice. And by this point, you know, I just, it's hard to get speech after speech after speech and then have a big one at the Oscar that makes it feel heartfelt. Dave Vine obviously like was able to do that and do a build, but RDJ, I thought his was rough. Emma Stone, and I have to be clear about this, I thought she gave the best speech considering the circumstances. And I, if you watch the moment where she wins, I actually feel terrible for her. Because one is because she really didn't think she was going to win. I think we were all predicting Lily Gladstone, the punditry.
No, we weren't. She really did not expect to win. She said it she on really the
thought,
carpet.
She didn't think she was going to win. And when they said her name, there was joy in that, but that was a fear of being petrified. She thought, oh my God, I'm going to get so much shit for winning right now. And I thought she did so well in giving Lily her proper flowers in that speech. And then even laying the groundwork for, like, I hope we do this more together for years to come, saying, like, Academy, make sure you invite Lily back for this. And I have said on the record, and a lot of Academy members have said this to me too, I think Lily was just in the wrong category.
Yeah, I think she's
a leading lady, and I get what it means for the career to be perceived as a leading lady. So in that, if you're playing the long game, then I get it. But for winning purposes and what I believe to be purity of a lead versus supporting, and the way Killers is told, I think she's a supporting performance, as does a lot of Academy members. And I think that was the deciding factor for many.
Do you think she would have won in supporting?
I think if we had started to see, like, if you go back to the Cannes coverage, everyone was saying she was supporting until she.
Yeah, but that was before they saw Dave Vine.
Well, no, it was until Variety revealed exclusively that she was switching to lead. I think if she's supporting this whole season, I think Lily wins in a walk. I think it would.
Wow.
In the same,
I don't know.
The same way I think Michelle Williams, no way Jamie Lee Curtis beats Michelle Williams for Everything Everywhere last year. No way.
She would. I think you're right about that one. I don't know if you're right about
that. I mean,
this one,
and maybe not. We'll never know for sure.
I think.
Yeah. But I think that
was
a factor.
Well, I peeked into the alternate universe. Okay.
You asked Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. I mean, there's so many things, like, you know, you obviously wrote the article about it, and seeing the people say, well, Anthony Hopkins had, you know, like, people open up that can of worms.
Not everything is the same.
Yeah. But I mean,
by the way, I honestly think Emma Stone was just more petrified about having to get up there and give a speech. Because she hadn't prepared one.
I think it was an avalanche of emotion. I saw fear in her eye. I think right before she kisses her husband, I think she mouths to him like, okay. Like, she was like, I think she was like trying to work through it. And listen, and I know what Lily's win would have represented, and that's why I wanted her to win in this scatter. I think she's an all-timer performance for me as a supporting actress performance. When you get to lead, you do look at things a little different. I'm glad that she has her next few projects lined up, and I hope she's back for Fancy Dance and the Charlie Kaufman movie and all that stuff. I want her working for years to come. She should have won her first Oscar for Certain Women like 8 years ago. So that's just part of like Oscar season. But you know, I felt in that moment for everyone. And then Killers just went home empty-handed. Third Scorsese movie to go 0-10.
That's crazy.
His movies have not won an Oscar since Hugo.
That's a crazy.
Wow, Hugo.
That is wild.
That's a blast from the past.
It was not a great night for the streamers.
Yeah, one Oscar for the streamers in total. Studios flexed. Good for them. And then looking ahead, by the way, by the time you're listening to this, year in advance, Blind Predictions will be up. It's going to be a studio season also this year. I mean, studios have a lot of good stuff that I'm excited about.
Dune 2. We can already start predicting for 2025.
Destiny.
Have you seen it yet,
Mike? Destiny get the nomination for Dune 2?
I will be very upset if he does not.
He has to. He has to.
And then just one thing I want to note from the winners. Boy and the Heron beating Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
I got that one.
Never underestimate me.
Everyone did. Everyone did. I think But what's shocking about it is that Miyazaki and Suzuki didn't show up to one award show all season long. And I was speaking to someone from the animation community that was at the Oscars. Actually, I'll even go further. I was speaking to someone that was a nominee in the category. And they had said, I wish I had lost to Spider-Man. Because at least I know those guys would have went up and said something about for the animation community. I think we took a step back today. Because there's no one there to advocate for us or say anything. Because Miyazaki doesn't do this stuff. And I see that point.
It's why doesn't he even have a rep? But like credit, someone representing the film.
I don't think he does. I don't think he specifically has a rep. The awards team was repping G Kids, that was pushing the G Kids pushed the movie.
Well, so why don't they have a G Kids exec then show up? Like,
are they allowed to have somebody else?
Sorry, they did have a Studio Ghibli rep though at the press room.
They might not be allowed to send someone else.
No, you can't send someone else up.
Someone accepting on behalf.
No.
Of,
no, because I actually at SCAD, because I wanted to do Boy and the Heron part of our roundtable, we needed a director, so they ended up sending the president of G Kids that came to do a separate panel at SCAD for it. He just doesn't do. And by the way, he also kudos to the campaign team, man. They convinced the world this was his last movie, and it isn't. He's working on one right now. He's been working on one this whole time. So
I think there's a push for people to vote for a narrative in some ways in a lot of these things, and I think people just voted purely. You know, they were like they voted for what they wanted.
Yeah, and it's a good movie, by the way. It's in my top 10 of the year. So was Spider-Man. So
is Robot Dreams?
Yes, number 5.
Okay, so after Clayton kept telling me to watch Robot Dreams, and I wasn't sure I could because a dog will be sad in it. It is so beautiful.
Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, it's this year's Marcel the Shell. It just brings joy.
I was really like, I love Spider-Verse. It was in my top 10 as well. You know, can't argue with Boy and the Heron, but there was a part of me that was like, God, it would be such a great
upset. There was a very large round of applause for Robot Dreams in that room that I was like,
I noticed that too.
On TV,
you could hear it.
Yeah, for sure.
You had a what if moment.
I think people people just discovered it. They were like, "Oh, there's this movie that's
that's the thing." Really, if it had, because it's not coming out until June. If it had actually been out here and done the rounds, but I actually did a Q&A with it about a week ago, which was weird because it obviously wasn't an Oscars Q&A. It was just a Q&A to celebrate what a great movie it is. And like the response was, it was a public screening. Like, it was sold out. People bought tickets. People went crazy for it. It's so damn charming.
Watch it if you can.
And to round out.
Oh, and it won the screenplay Goya.
Oh, yeah, it did. It did win the Goya Award. That was amazing.
A wordless animated film, and it beat Society of the Snow, which won everything else.
And the last thing I want to wrap up with is, we live in a world now where Diane Warren is 0-15 and Bradley Cooper's 0-12.
Wow.
Do you think they're ever going to get it? Do you think it's going to happen for them?
Diane Warren, I think he needs will. To yeah. do, she needs to go back, not necessarily to the power
the Disney movie.
Ballad, but she needs to do a song in a film that people are watching and
the best picture winner.
About.
She needs to do a original song for Oppenheimer. Yeah.
Something along those lines. Otherwise, she's just going to be nominated over and over again.
Listen, this is my prediction. I want it to be, because it's so meta. Literally today, as we speak, her documentary about her life is premiering at South By. She wrote an original song for it. She's going to win for that. She's going to win an original song
for
the movie about her life. Well, a doc about her life. It would be so meta.
Anything would be better than this one, which sounded like a jingle for Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
I love the fire. I think this is one of her better.
I like the song.
I really like the song. It is one of her better songs of her last few years. She'd been nominated 7 years in a row, and I think this is the best of that lot.
Well, that's the thing. Also, stop nominating her unless she really has a chance.
Well, that's. I was like, if you're gonna do it, do it. Like at this point, it's like, come on, man.
But she's always out. Here's the thing. She is always out campaigning. She goes to every event.
Well, she wants it, and good for her.
She makes she has no shame. Like, yes, I want to be nominated. I actually still want to win. I know I haven't won.
Oh, she has a fire inside.
She.
Oh, I knew it was
She's
coming.
Flaming hot. Flaming hot.
Bradley Mike, Cooper. How... What is it going to take for him to
he's
win?
He's gonna. He's gonna win eventually.
He's at least. It's like within the next 5 years.
Yeah, this is like, next 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike.
So let's put Bradley Cooper, Glenn Close, Amy Adams, Michelle Williams, and Diane Warren all in one category, and let them
fight it out. Best director. Yeah, let's do it. Mike, how much would I have to pay you to perform in I'm Just Ken at the Oscars?
Oh, I'd do it for free.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, come on.
So,
why is that a threat? That would be amazing.
So Clay, what was that like in the room? I mean, it was fantastic
that,
at home.
I'm not even joking. I think that's the best musical performance at the Oscars since Eminem surprised and showed up for Lose Yourself.
I go with Selma.
I mean, that was good, too. But they came with a Chris Pine tier, and that will always stay
engraved
in my memory.
This is an all-timer top 10. Like, it's top 10, top 5.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. Like, I was standing on the... I got to the first floor, so I was on the first floor when John Mulaney was up there, and then all the Kens were lining up, and I went, oh, my God, it's about to happen. And it was just... And then Slash... Yeah.
I mean, everything, the choreography, Gosling, like, he hit the notes. I mean, he sounded great. The whole just, like, the choreograph of him going down to, you know, sort of, you know, to Greta and to Margot. And,
Margot.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Yes.
Margot can't make eye contact with him. Anytime she looks at him,
could
she's
you?
Like, she's, I know. Like,
she was
she's
laughing
like,
so
she's like,
hard.
I can't.
It was so good it broke Emma Stone's dress.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, hearing his new movie, The Fall Guys, incredible.
Yeah, here's really
I can
really
tell you it is because I saw it last night. Boom, I saw a movie before you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
My gosh. 24 hours before we do.
Before you guys.
Oh, my goodness.
And you loved it?
Is
it an Oscar contender?
I mean, it's not the kind of movie that – it's a Globes contender. I mean, it should win comedy because it is hysterical but also just so much fun.
Or cinematic and box office
stunts.
Oh, the stunts are like it lives up to being a movie about the Fall Guy. It's amazing. Yeah.
Can we all just collectively say we feel duped that aside from Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt having the greatest bit of presenters at the Oscars, don't you feel duped that they were about to announce we have a stunt Oscar and they did not?
Yeah.
I was sitting there. I was like, oh my god, it's about to happen, and then
it's.
They were like, okay,
it's
thanks,
funny,
bye.
In The Fall Guy, they make a big deal about that. They make a reference about the fact that there's no Oscar for stunts. So it is a true love letter to stunts, to Hollywood. But it's a rom-com. It's got the action. It's got a dog, Janelle.
Is the dog okay? Tell me now.
The dog is a hero, as a matter of fact. So, yeah. It's got it ticks all the boxes, so...
What kind of dog?
You're asking a lot of specific questions now. A Pekingese.
I don't know. It's a
that was my dog growing up. It was a Pekingese. I love it.
Oh, it looks like an Australian Shepherd mix.
Which would make sense because it takes place
if it's
in
the
Australia.
One.
So,
just going back to that performance really quickly, can I just say props to everybody that pulled that off? Because I think, you know, we've got an article about it on how quickly that all came together. Like, people don't appreciate that they have 3 days or less to get into the Dolby.
Well, remember, Joe Coy only had, 2 weeks to prepare for his Golden Globes monologue. So this is proof if you can put that together in 3 days.
Yeah, although they were putting it together for a long time. I'm Just Ken. I mean, that's been in the works for months. So speaking, though, of original song, I mean... Phineas and Billie Eilish were fantastic. You know, I think we were all predicting that they were going to win. And the fact that they are so young and now both have 2 Oscars on their mantle.
Youngest 2-timers in history. Well, listen, Billie, obviously impressive. And by the way, they still have like many of their 20s left because they're so young. I'm actually really impressed by Phineas being a 2-time because the... There were 3 women that won before the age of 30. No man has ever won before the age of 30. The youngest person to have 2 Oscars is Walt Disney.
Wow.
And now that's Phineas.
Go Phineas.
Beat Walt Disney's right.
That's incredible.
He's the new Walt Disney. Yeah. Nathan, yes.
I mean, the fact that that duo is still so young and there's still so much ahead. They may win 3 more Oscars. So.
Yeah, didn't she say something like, I probably won't get up here again? And I was like,
I was like, there's a Bond movie coming, man. They know what to do.
Yeah.
maybe Denis Villeneuve. Who knows? That's the rumors. I like it. I hope that rumor is true.
Do we have a song from Dune?
Dune 2.
Spice, baby.
Yeah, it's really good, there Janelle. That was a very dad joke, Janelle.
Wait, Josh Brolin.
Spice, baby. That's really, Josh really well.
I was going to say, Dune it to me one more time.
That's I like Janelle's.
Janelle wins the dad joke.
Janelle wins the dad joke.
No,
Janelle
wait,
is the
no.
new champion. So what else didn't we see inside the room, Clayton?
You didn't see Lily Gladstone weeping when Wajayjay was being performed, and it was beautiful. I put that video up on my TikTok. She was standing and just so happy to see it happening. That was beautiful.
You better, by the way, put that video up on Instagram too, because I don't know if TikTok's going to be around much longer.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Save it now.
That is true. Woo. And then, what else? What else? What else? I saw so many people getting drunk after they lost their categories.
Names.
I see a lot of nominees. Yeah. Like once their categories are up, they're like, okay, we're
step just up to the bar
now. Good. Yeah, it always depends on where. But then you see people so nervous, like all throughout the night, and like can I just say, just a little bit of fashion? I thought America Ferrera looked incredible.
Loved it.
Stunning.
Didn't wear pink all season. And then she wore pink that night. I was like, you saved it. Well done. Very well done. I thought Carey Mulligan also looked wonderful. I loved her black dress. And then Colman Domingo, whatever. Like, yeah, you look great, like always.
He's Colman Domingo.
He's Colman Domingo. Right.
He could wear a barrel.
But yeah, there were... But no, listen. And just reviews of the show, I thought it was a really good show, man.
Yeah.
Great show.
Yeah,
one of those a really good show
in recent years.
I thought it was a really good show.
I agree. And you know, the ratings were up, which is good. I think it was impacted by daylight saving time. It was impacted by the early start, and then the delay, which people tuned in at 7 o'clock Eastern and didn't see the Oscars. Maybe some of them did turn the channel. So all things considered, despite that heavy lift, they pulled it off.
But it works early.
I liked it. Yeah.
Time. Now all we need is February.
I will add one more thing.
I was home from the party before midnight.
Yeah.
I know. I got home at like 10:30.
Oh, that's nice. I will say one more thing that you didn't see on screen is Emma Stone in the press room. By the time she got up there after winning her Oscar, her dress had been fixed. The magic of what happens backstage, and her being like, I completely blacked out down there, and she's like, my head's still spinning. That was
also loved her dress too.
Her dress was beautiful.
Right.
I liked.
I thought everyone looked like good. Everyone looked really good. It's good time. And Velvet, I didn't know what Velvet was in. I was wearing Velvet and didn't realize everyone else was.
Well, Clayton, you are a fashion. Yeah,
fashion forward.
I need a stylist. I can't do this. Like this is hard, man. If a stylist is listening to the Award Circuit podcast, please reach out to me and dress me, because I can't do this anymore.
You looked great.
I rented this year for the first time in like a while.
You looked great.
You had a big day.
There, 4:15
I was gonna say, what time did you wake up?
I was there. I was on the carpet at 4:15 a.m. People were getting mugged still in Hollywood.
Well, to be fair, you were the one mugging them.
I took their money. And then the carpet started. It was a 5.5-hour show, but it was. But listen, like first world problems, right? Like it was great, and it was awesome. I swear, this is really the last thing to close this out, because I think this is important. A change I would like. Jonathan Glazer is not technically an Oscar winner now, guys, and we need to change that rule with international feature. It's really stupid. Mm-hmm. The country is the winner, and the director's name is on the Oscar, but they are not an Oscar winner, and I think that's silly.
Yeah, we need to change that, because Rodrigo Prieto is going to make his directorial debut this year with
in a Mexican
Pedro
movie.
Paramo.
Yeah.
And if it wins, he will not have an Oscar. The country will have another
Oscar.
Will
be, and that will be terrible.
Yeah.
That's why Asghar Farhadi is not an Oscar winner. He's not a two-time Oscar winner.
Wow.
He's only a nominee because he got nominated for original screenplay for A Separation.
Crazy. That's it. We need to change that.
And then I wonder if you could...
Campaign begins today.
Could you retroactively then award those Oscars?
They would never do such a thing. I mean, that would be the right thing to do, but there's no way they would do it.
One thing at a time. One thing at a time.
No way.
Yeah, Jazz and Janelle, how were your Oscar Sundays? What were the highlights for you two?
Mine was nice. It was pretty low-key. And then I went to the Oppenheimer party, which was nice. It wasn't like, you know, it was obviously very celebratory. When Hoyta showed up with his Oscar, everyone cheered and went crazy. Cillian Murphy showed up, and it just got swarmed. It was fun.
I was in the press room with Katzy and Matt Donnelly, so we were backstage with all the Oscar winners as they come through. Again, it was a long day. It was a lot of fun being up there. You could feel the energy from, you know, when I'm Just Ken. It just oozed up through that shopping mall that is the Ovation. People always forget it's a shopping mall.
Yes.
Mall. It is a glamorous shopping mall.
One of the greatest secrets of the Oscars.
But no, it was a lot of fun being in there. It was like there was the excitement, the joy for Oppenheimer, and just seeing all the other wins. And then I was going to go to In-N-Out, which is a tradition that everybody does, but the lines were so long. I was like, no, forget it.
Right. They've made it too big now. It's too much of a tradition. You can't even get in. So...
You can't get in on a regular day. The drive-through line is in the middle of the street. That's why I think In-N-Out isn't really that good. It ain't worth it. Shake Shack, man.
Shake Shack all the way.
Or Smashburger. Oh,
Shots fired.
I know.
What?
Please don't take away my deal.
Well, I was out here in Austin watching on the TV. So continuing with South by Southwest. Guys, I've been seeing movies. These things.
You have a nice looking hotel room. Speaking of,
I'm fancy. That's me. But yeah, I also saw Monkey Man, Dev Patel's directorial debut. Yeah,
it is.
If you like that kind of like smash,
smash your face into a table
or toilet in this case, ultra violent. The kind of ultra violence that you kind of find yourself laughing. And there's moments where he has some gruesome kills and the audience is cheering and like, oh, well, all right, I guess.
It's his John Wick.
John Wick.
Good for him.
It's his Bond audition is what it is.
Go for it.
So it is a lot of fun. He said that he actually spent part of the time writing the movie like at restaurants in Koreatown. He's definitely influenced by a lot of those Korean flicks as well. So that was a lot of fun. Saw Sydney Sweeney's film, religious horror film, Immaculate.
Immaculate?
Jump?
Was it Immaculate?
It is jump scare. It's a lot of jump scares. There's kind of some real gruesome moments as well.
You're selling me on
Fall
this.
Guy was definitely the palate cleanser because that was just such a fun movie. So that's definitely one to keep your eyes out for. Oh, but most importantly, first two episodes of season 3 of Hacks. They stuck the landing. The show is back. First two episodes were fantastic.
Love that show.
And they really found like a new path now. I won't give it away, but there's a whole new storyline for this season that I can't wait to see. So definitely that. I mean, South By, there was some good things. We did our Power of Comedy event, which I opened. Yes, I did 5 minutes of dad jokes. I swore more than I think I've ever done at a company event before.
I want to be like Mike Schneider when I grow up, man. Look at this guy.
Can I ask a question about Hacks?
Of course you can, Janelle.
Okay. first season was so incredible. Second season was great, but I felt like some of the characters I really loved kind of got sidelined a little bit just because there was a very specific storyline. Are a lot of those people back? Yeah. Like Carl Clemens Hopkins, do they have a lot to do this season? And I saw that Paul W. Downs was promoted to series regular, which makes me laugh because he's one of the show creators. So, the character is so great, I wanted to see more of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's only saw the first two episodes, so I can't tell you down the road if there's more. I mean, it's still ultimately about those two women at the core of this series. So,
yeah.
You know, and that's what the show focuses on, at least especially for those first two episodes, reestablishing what their relationship is now and how damaged it was at the end of season two when, you know, basically Deborah Vance fires Ava. And, you know, mm-hmm. Ava clearly is still working through things when we see her at the start of season three. So,
yeah. Oh, I love that show so much.
So that's what else is looking forward to. Now I think you all can breathe.
Go to collapse.
Sleep. Oh, so what? Real quick, let's talk about Clayton's cover story. So before, you know, everyone else was celebrating at the Oscars, but Clayton was busy talking to Dave Vine, Joy Randolph. So how'd that go?
She went to bed at 5:45 and was at her shoot at 7 a.m. So she got like 70 minutes of sleep. And she Dave Vine was divine. She was just taking it all in, very grateful. The sweetest thing, when I went to go see her when she was getting ready, I was like, congratulations. She's like, thank you. And then she was like, do you know, like, how to, like clean it a bit? Because, like, I feel like the plate is coming up a little bit because so many people were touching it. I was like, the Academy actually, like, has this whole service. Like, they'll take care of your watching, get it dipped and all that stuff. I was like, she's like, are you sure they can do that? I'm like, yes. They, like, this is like yours, and they make sure that it looks good forever. So feel free.
Don't you
I
worry.
Think
yeah.
But it was. It was
we'll
I think what
Dave Vine
was trying to ask you, Clayton, nicely was
how do I
shine the head of the Oscar?
Yeah. Well, no. It was actually the nameplate that was really, because people were just, I guess, you know, touching it and stuff. There's just smudges all over it, and you're not supposed to use like chemicals on it. So we were like using like eyeglass cloth, the cloth they use for glasses, or whatever, like whatever they're called, and then we were using that, and we got most of it like off. But it's her baby, and she holds it like a baby, and
as she should.
I think she was actually asking Clayton, "Can you polish?
Can you polish my?
She's like, Clayton, your head looks awfully nice and shiny. Can you do the same?
I was wearing a hat, so she didn't even know. I think one of the most jaw-dropping things was her surprise when I told her. I was like, you know, you're the most awarded supporting actress in history, like leading up into the Oscars. You won the most precursors of any person that's ever, like, whatever. She was like, is that true? I'm like, yeah. I was like, you're also the 19th black woman to ever win an Oscar. And she was like, is that true? She's like, of any category? I'm like, yes, 19th. And there's been 3,300 Oscars given out in history. And then she was just like, I got the keys to the castle. Like, I'm not going to be the last. Like, she's just ready to take over Hollywood, as she should, because she is talented. And Only Murders retweeted the cover as well. So I'm ready for the next season. She says, we started shooting. Everything's good. She said she hasn't seen scripts yet.
Oh, interesting. I know someone who's on that show, and they were saying this third season is going to be, oh wait, sorry, fourth season,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What they've seen is amazing.
That's great. Yeah, well, speaking of TV, that's what we're on to now. So we'll take a little bit of a break, and then we'll be back with the Award Circuit podcast at some point, talking all things television. But in the meantime, go read Clayton's story over at thevariety.com.
Thanks, guys. And I'll be gone to November. I'll be gone to November.
And watch the video too.
Oh my God, her playing Smash or Pass, extraordinary, extraordinary.
That's great. Well, happy Oscars, everybody.
Happy Oscars. Enjoy South by, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Bye.
We did it.
Oh God.
And that's it for this edition of Variety's Award Circuit Podcast. Michael Schneider is the producer. Be sure to subscribe to the Award Circuit Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Also, head on over to Variety.com and click on the Award Circuit tab to find the latest awards predictions and key races, as well as your daily fix of news, analysis, and reviews. For Jazz Tanke, Janelle Riley, and Clayton Davis, I'm Michael Schneider. We're off for a few weeks, but we'll be back later this spring with all new episodes diving into the Emmy race. Until then, we'll see you on the circuit.